as always. Praise God. If you have your Bibles this morning, would you turn with me to the book of Revelation? Revelation chapter 17. And I want to begin reading at the first verse. Revelation chapter 17, beginning at verse 1. Now, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word? Revelation 17, verse 1. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that setteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of the abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. Now I want to preach this morning on the subject of the woman on the beast. And you may be wondering, Pastor, what on earth could all that possibly have to do with me this morning? What does it mean? Well, with the Lord's help, we're going to try and expound upon it. Let's go to him in prayer. Heavenly Father, today we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, knowing we can do nothing without the anointing of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I ask for that anointing to rest upon me today, not to glorify me, but to build up your people and to glorify you, Lord Jesus, and to be able to preach your word in such a way that it would be made clear, understandable, applicable, and life-changing to those who hear it today. And Lord, we'll not fail to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory for whatever you do this day. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. This world this morning is prepared for the Antichrist to come on the world stage. The political scene and stage is already in place. The spiritual stage is nearly prepared. There is a move on by the powers that be in the world system to unite all religions. And you're going to see before your eyes a unifying of all major world religions. It's already begun. It's already happening right before our eyes. As the Pope is now wanting to have dialogue with the Muslim world. And those are the two major religions in the world today, Catholicism and Islam. And not only are Catholicism and Islam going to be united and accept one another, so is every other religion in this world. Now, I can read some minds, and I hear the tickers going. Pastor, you didn't mention Christianity. Christianity is not a religion. I said the world's religions are going to unite. Christianity is not a religion. Praise God. I know you know what I'm about to say. Christianity is a relationship to a live and living individual, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Don't you feel that this morning? Religion is man's system to make himself right before God using man's ways. And Brother Swaggart one time well said, religion is the most powerful drug in the world. You can get somebody off of heroin easier than you can dislodge them from religion. I was amused the other day as Phil sent me a CD or a MP3. Phil's advanced on all this technological stuff. You all know that around him and Chris and maybe several others of you, but he sent me this thing on Facebook of a conversation that, and I had to chuckle myself. I thought, man, what God can do, how he can, you know something, let me give you a side note here. Don't ever doubt God's ability to wipe clean all the hurtful situations you've ever been through before. The Holy Spirit's able, amen? And I heard them talking about this, and I thought, well, I guess it was that bad, but I don't feel it no more. The Lord's healed me from it. But Lauren, Brother Swire had asked Lauren the question on the show, The Message of the Cross. He said, Lauren, do you know of any pastors that have really taken a stand for the message of the cross to the point where it cost them? And without hesitation, it blew me away without hesitation on this tape that Phil sent me. Lawrence said, yeah, he said, there's Pastor Greg Browning from Springfield, Ohio. I was like, wow. And he said, well, Lauren, what happened? He said, well, he was preaching the message of the cross in this denomination, and he said most of the church didn't like it. The denominational leaders didn't like it, and they come up with every kind of dirty trick in the world to get him out of his pulpit. And Brother Swaggart said, well, what did they do? Lauren said, well, he said, they first tried to accuse him of some financial wrongdoing, and it came out 1 year after he left that he had nothing to do with any kind of financial wrongdoing, that it was somebody else that was doing that. And then he said, when they came time to vote him out, he said the state overseer, who didn't want him in there either, let people come and vote who hadn't attended the church for over a year. And Brother Swaggart said, he said, you know what that reminds me of? He said, you remember back in the Nixon days when they had the Dirty Tricks Committee? He said to Lauren, he said, but that's what religion does, isn't it, Lauren? Lauren said, absolutely. Lauren said, but God brought him through it. He left that denomination, and he's preaching what's in his heart and what is the truth now. And he's got a church there in Springfield where they preach Christ and him crucified. Hallelujah. That's what God can do. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. You might say, well, you fool, they ain't but about 20 or 30 here this morning. What? That don't matter. That don't matter. Praise God. Praise God. Numbers have never impressed God. Truth and faithfulness to his word and to his son. That's what impresses God. Hallelujah. So Christianity is a relationship. It's not a religion. And I'll be frank with you. Had I not really had Jesus in my heart and life, I'd be sitting in some corner this morning just playing with my lips going for all that the enemy. But I'm going to tell you this. Now buckle your seatbelts. We're going to get some honesty here, and it's going to be plain. Religious people cannot stand the preaching of Jesus Christ and him crucified. Religious people can't stand it. They hate it. They despise it. And they search for ways to try to get around it, as they did in my situation. They falsely accused me. It came out. I did nothing wrong. I think you all know, most in here know what I'm talking about, and I don't want to slander anybody, but the truth is the truth. I was doing nothing wrong. It was somebody else that was doing all the wrong. And I pray they've repented and God's restored them now. I don't hold nothing against them. But they used that scenario because religious minds are smart enough to know you cannot deny the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. It's impossible. And if they don't want to hear it, and they don't want to receive and embrace the message of the cross, they're going to look for a way to destroy it. That's why world religions hate Christianity. Whether world religions have nothing, hear this preacher this morning. They have nothing to offer mankind. They have no power. They have no authority. They offer no relationship to God through Jesus Christ. All they can offer is religious exercises and practices of demonized individuals. And yes, I'm speaking of the Catholic Church. I'm speaking of every religion that does not hold up Jesus Christ. And no religion will hold up Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross is totally exclusive. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. How much plainer can it be? So Christianity is not a religion. You can't do anything biblical Christianity teaches to make yourself right with God but believe. But believe. But here's what is the catch in mankind's soul that gets its tentacles around mankind's soul and entraps mankind in religion. Religion teaches you can do something. You can be good enough to make yourself acceptable to God. I want to say that again. I want you to think about it. That's how you can tell religion from biblical Christianity. Religion will always tell you there's something you can do through human effort that will make you right before God. And that so appeals to the sin nature of mankind. It's a very heady, arrogant thought to think, I can be good enough to make Almighty God accept me. And that's what reels people into religion. That's why the pseudo-Christianity, as I will call it, being offered today is so popular. Because it is a crossless Christianity. And a crossless Christianity is no Christianity at all. That's why in many churches today they won't put up a cross or they won't preach on the cross. Other than just mentioning in passing. And let me tell you something. I know this doesn't apply to any in this church, but it generally it needs to be said. There are those out there who want to believe that because their pastor or their preacher makes mention of Christ dying on the cross, that, oh, they preach the cross. Nothing could be further from the truth. When you're really preaching biblical Christianity, you don't preach about the cross, you preach the cross. You don't hold it up along psychology as an antidote. You don't hold it up along some kind of pill or some kind of program as an antidote. When you're preaching the cross, the power that was poured out there is the greatest revelation of the power and the love and the grace of Almighty God this world will ever see. And it is totally sufficient to heal mankind in every area of his life. And religion hates that. Because religion wants to be able to say, I did it, or you did it. And that's what makes religion so popular. And you're seeing right now in this world a coming together of all major religions. You say, Pastor, why are you taking the time to preach this? I feel an urgency from the Holy Spirit on what I'm about to say, and I don't normally make statements like this. Some of you better tune in and listen to what I'm going to say this morning, or what I'm trying to say. Because if you don't sell out your soul and heart to Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, you're going to entertain these doctrines of devils and you're going to be swept into a morass of errant teaching that will damn your soul to hell forever. That's how important what I'm preaching about is today. It's not something to take lightly what I'm trying to put forth this morning. You'll get wrapped up in religion if you're not careful and lose your eternal soul. And I'm talking about in what parades itself and masquerades itself as evangelical Christianity. I'm not talking about Catholics and Islamic religion here. I'm talking about evangelical Christianity, particularly in the United States of America. Well, I just might as well get myself in trouble and preach this morning. When these smiley Joes, like Joel Osteen and Rick Warren et al., the whole lot of them, they speak very impressively, but they do not preach the cross. They hold up their smiley little books alongside the Word of God. If you want your best life now, get to the cross of Christ. It's not found in Joel Osteen's book. And there's no power in that book because it does not lead you to the cross. The church and many people in America look for a pastor who's nice. You don't have a nice pastor. Missed a great chance to say amen there. Thank you, Helen. Didn't have to be that vociferous about it, though, huh? That's what most people look for when they see somebody purporting to preach the gospel. Well, is he a nice guy? He seems so sweet. He smiles all the time. And she has a tremendous personality. Oh, she just tells joke after joke, and she's so witty. I've seen them, a whole parade of them on TV now. And there is so little gospel coming across the Christian airwaves, it's unbelievable. There's a lot of preaching about the gospel. Hear what I'm saying this morning. This is deadly serious, church. The Holy Spirit has told me to put this across, and I prayed and sought God this week. Said, God, give me the words to say it. Give me the anointing to put it across. It's deadly serious. Because tens of thousands are being swept away into the demonized world of religion under the banner of it being Christianity. You listen to some preacher preach, it's good. I'll say it again at the risk of sounding so overly redundant, it beggars description. But it needs to be said again. If somebody is offering you the help of God in some area, they'd better be taking you to the cross of Christ. Let me make it clearer than that. If you want your family healed by the power of God, that's good. That's good. It should be preached. Our family should be together and unified. But it doesn't come by going to some psychologist program. It comes by going to the foot of the cross and admitting to Jesus Christ, we are sinners, and there's no hope for us. There's no hope for our family except we put our faith in you and you infuse our family with the power of the Holy Ghost. Then you'll find healing in your family. And it won't come until you do that. If you want deliverance from sin, a 12-step program will not deliver you from alcohol. You've got to take that to the cross of Jesus Christ. Throw yourself on His grace and mercy, which He will not deny you, and He will provide you with the power to quit drinking. Whatever it is, let me say it this way. If it is an effort to heal mankind in any capacity outside of the cross of Christ, you're in religion. You're in religion. Think of that. And religion makes God sick to his stomach. He said that in Revelation 3 when he was speaking to the church at Laodicea. And he said, I would that you were cold or hot. But because you're neither cold nor hot, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. In the literal Greek text there, what God is saying is your religious practices make me so sick to my stomach. Because any religious practice will remove Christ and Him crucified from its doctrine and will not make it the central exclusive theme. Let's get to our text now this morning. Revelation 17, in this great book of Revelation, is what's called a parenthetical passage, a parenthetical chapter. It's giving more information about the chapter that has preceded it and the chapter that is coming afterwards. And John, in this vision, is led by the Spirit out into the wilderness. And he's told, come and I'll show you the great judgment of the whore that setteth upon many waters. Whoredom, in this context, is spiritual idolatry. Not the literal physical act of committing fornication. It's speaking of spiritual idolatry. It's taken, in other words, it's taken what should belong to God, us, and joining our life to some religious system that is devoid of Jesus Christ. And he said, I'll show you the judgment of this whore this false religion, if you will, that sets upon many waters. The waters, many waters mean tens of millions of people that are being deceived by what this woman has taught and preached, this false religious system, this harlot of religion is really what's being put forth. And the Bible says he's taken to the wilderness. He's taken to the wilderness. In other words, a place where there is no life. A dry, dusty desert. That's a perfect picture of where religion will lead you. That's a perfect picture of where religion will lead you to. A dry, lifeless place spiritually. And John is taken out into the wilderness. And he sees a woman seated upon a beast. And we read in verse 3, he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. I saw a woman set upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. This unified religious effort that is coming to pass right now before our very eyes in the world is going to dominate political power for a time. That's why this woman is seen setting upon this scarlet-colored beast. Here's the application. It means that this false religious system, for a time, is going to rule the political powers that be also. The beast represents the governments of the world, the governments really of the Antichrist, to be frank with you. And this woman is seated upon the beast, symbolizing her authority and her bringing the beast into subjection as she rides upon it. This worldwide religious system that is coming to the world right now is going to dominate the entirety of the world. It's going to unite all religions into one. And that's why true Christianity will never be a part of it. Because true Christianity is exclusive. Jesus is so succinct and clear in his message to mankind when he said in John 14, I'll say it again, I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Let me try to expound briefly what he's saying there. He's saying your religious works will not make you right with my Father. He's saying Buddha cannot make you right with my Father. Muhammad cannot make you right with my Father. Chanting a mantra cannot make you right with my Father. Going to a man who wears his collar backwards and confessing your sins to him cannot make you right with my Father. Jesus is saying boldly and dramatically, only my shed blood will cleanse from sin. Only my shed blood poured out for you on the cross, and my Father in heaven will recognize nothing but faith in my shed blood. That's a rub against all other world religions. But they're going to dominate. It's going to happen. It's happening now. You know it. Watch your news. You see the Muslims and the Catholics coming together in union. It's going to happen. It's happening right before our very eyes. But then what's the application to us as we see this taking place, as we see this Bible being fulfilled right before our very eyes? My brothers and sisters, it ought to make us think. It ought to get a hold of us and cause us, as 1 John or 1 Peter says, to be sober, to be vigilant, to be watchful, to make sure that we're not swept away into some false religious belief system, because nobody is above being swept into it. Nobody's above it. We must examine our faith daily to ensure and allow the Holy Spirit to inspect us and make sure our faith rests exclusively in Jesus Christ for our salvation, and we're not holding up anything alongside that. No work of our own. This system is going to be so powerful, and even is now. Look at Islam. Islam is taking over the United States of America. As we sit dumbfoundedly and foolishly back, wanting more worried about being politically correct than we are in standing up and saying what Islam is, a religion founded by a demonized pedophile that had its birth in the pit of hell and has never done any good at all for this world. It's destroyed everywhere it's ever been. If you look at the history of Islam, And we here in America sit back because we don't want to make anyone mad and say, come do whatever you want to do, in essence, because we don't want to offend you. And then you have the false religionist. Like, and I know I sound repetitive using these names, but they're such perfect examples. Joel Osteen and Rick Warren saying, oh, we need to have dialogue with them. Going to meetings with them. Let me ask you this, my brothers and sisters. How can light have fellowship with darkness? How can that which has its birth in heaven even attempt to have fellowship with that which has been birthed in hell? How can it be? It can't be. And to compromise Christ and Him crucified to appease a bunch of demonized religious people, that makes God sick to His stomach. My prayer is, God, raise us up another million people that'll square their shoulders, preachers and pulpiteers and people in the pew, that'll stand and say what, tell the truth, no matter what it costs them. And there might be some cost involved with it. I won't tell you that. But I'll tell you this. Whatever we lose in this life, we're going to gain a million times over in the one to come. We're not living for the here and now as Christians. We're living for the there and then, which is soon to take place, because Jesus Christ is about to return in power and in glory as the conquering King. Hallelujah. And it's happening before our very eyes. This religious world system, the Holy Spirit graphically describes it. It says this woman, as she sat on the beast, in other words, dominating the powers of this world, this religious system, that she was bedecked with precious stones, gold, silver, pearls, meaning this system is going to have tremendous wealth. And can you imagine the wealth that will come when the Catholic Church unites with Islam? Can you imagine that? And it says she had a golden cup in her hand, full of filthiness and abominations. What is that? That's the doctrine of her religion. It's filthy in God's sight because it offers salvation outside of the cross of Christ. That makes it filthy to God. And notice this, it's in a golden cup. It's in a golden cup, something that is pure and precious. In other words, what the Lord wants us to see here is that on the outside, this doctrine looks and sounds so good and so appealing. It looks like the right thing. But when you look on the inside of it, it's full of filthiness and abominations. That's because of the doctrine that's being taught. That's a perfect picture of American evangelicalism right now. And I didn't say Christianity. I'm choosing my words very carefully. Listen very carefully. I said American evangelicalism. What do you mean by that? Evangelicalism refers to basically the non-Catholic side of what's purported to be the church in America. Evangelicalism. Even there, espousing doctrines. I mean, my Lord, when Ken Copeland says I could have went to the cross if I'd had the same knowledge of God, I'm going to tell you right now, you better disassociate yourself with anybody who associates with a teacher like that. I don't care how popular, pretty, witty. I don't care if you're, oh, I've got to preach here. I love you. I'm not, like I said, I told you I wasn't a nice guy. But nice guys preach people into hell. Mean guys try to preach people into heaven. If you're listening to anybody who associates with Ken Copeland and espouses that same doctrine, i.e., I can name some names here and I will do it. Joyce Meyer. Now, ladies, I love you to pieces. I got to choose some words carefully here. Well, Ravana's not here, but I'll have the rest of you. You better not go after somebody just because they're a woman. Just because they know how to emotionally relate to you as a woman. That does not excuse you from holding them accountable for sound doctrine. And let me be frank with you. Joyce Meyer, I've listened to her many times before. She is entertaining. She's very entertaining. She has a tremendous style of delivery. I have no doubt the woman's called to preach. Can I tell you that? There is no doubt in my mind God's called her and anointed her to preach the gospel. Problem, she don't preach the gospel. That's the problem. She's in with Ken Copeland and all the rest of the Word of Faith teachers who teach that Jesus became a sinner on the cross. Well, if Jesus became a sinner on the cross, who redeemed him then? Sin's penalty is not paid if Jesus became a sinner. You say, well, Pastor, but doesn't the Bible say that he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God? You'd better study your Bible. You'd better study your Bible and know what it's saying, not just what it says. In the context it's being referred to there, and every Hebrew and Jew of Paul's day knew what he was talking about, he who knew no sin, that means original sin, the sin of Adam and Eve. Jesus had none of that in him. He who knew no sin was made to be sin. The word there is chiata. It means a sin offering. The one who had no sin at all in his life willingly laid it down and became a sin offering for sinners like you and me. Hallelujah, that's right teaching. But to teach he became a sinner, you better listen to what they're telling you. You can be so easily swept into religion by somebody who has a gift of persuasion or a gift to speak, again, which somebody like her does. But I fear far too many ladies in the church wanted a hero. Well, look, she's a lady. Woo, look at her. Look at all she's achieved as a female. We've been suppressed all these years, and look at what a ministry God's given her. And I believe God did give it to her. And I believe he raised her up to preach the gospel. But somewhere along the way, she got swept into religion to get a big ministry. I know I'm thinking of one man as I was preparing this week who I love dearly. He's been swept into religion to get a big church. Let me just say it. I'm trying to be nice, and I'm not doing a very good job of it, so I might as well just turn mean and let the mean streak fly. This man's a former associate of mine who has forsaken in totality the message of the cross that he was taught under my ministry to gain favor with the denomination and to gain a big church. And oh, he's feeling it. He's feeling it. But I've got online and listened to some of his sermons. You know where he's preaching from? Joel Osteen's book, How to Be a Better You. One of his sermons I listened to from start to finish had very little scripture references in it and referred to being nice and becoming a better person. Folks, we ain't nice. We're born sinners. We're born with an evil streak in us that defies description, every last one of us. We come into the world that way. And the only way there's any good in any of us is when we place our faith and trust in what Christ did for us at the cross. And then the Holy Spirit comes into our heart and life. Then some good gets produced by him. To him be all the glory. To him be all the glory. Hallelujah. So what looks pretty on the outside and what looks so appealing on the outside as the golden cup in this woman's hand, as believers, we're called to examine everything we're taught. Never check your brain, no matter how pretty, no matter how eloquent, no matter how handsome, no matter what a brilliant orator they are, no matter how educated they are, it's not hard to look for Christ and him crucified. And if that's not there, you'd better run from the teaching. The Bible goes on. Verse 5. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Mystery, Babylon. The word mystery here in the Greek text is mysterion. And it refers to that really which is of the occult. And you say, Pastor, are you suggesting that all religion is of the occult? That is exactly what I'm telling you. That is exactly what I'm telling you. You see, the mind of most Christians, and I was this way before I learned the message of the cross, has been trained to accept doctrinal aberrations. And I've heard people say before, well, I just eat the chicken and spit out the bones. You know, how many times have you heard that? Or let me tell you, if that chicken's been seasoned with rat poisoning, it goes through the meat to the very bone. You cannot separate the two. And I love lasagna. I'm a lasagna-eating guy. Man, I'm like that Garfield the cat when it comes to lasagna. But I tell you what, if you eat an 8-layer lasagna and 7 layers of it are good, but one of them has rat poison in it, guess what? You're still dying. And know this, in a false religious system, there's always going to be an element of truth in it. That's the hook. That's the hook. There'll always be some truth there. I've heard particularly Word of Faith teachers teach a lot of good things on how to get along with your wife scripturally, how to get along with your husband, how to raise your family right, scripturally. I mean, they'll present biblical truth to do that, but there will be no mention of the cross of Christ. In other words, they're leading you to do it outside of the cross, even though they're using some good truth to make their point. This mystery Babylon refers to a false religious system that is occultic. Because again, I'll stress it again, it is teaching mankind to achieve his salvation outside of faith in Jesus Christ. And it says she is the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. As I'm speeding to a close now, and you've heard me say this before, but it needs to be brought out again in this message. This week at Penn State, we've heard of the horrific child abuse scandal that has taken place there to preserve a football program. In essence, that's why it's been kept undercover so long, to preserve a football program. That shows you the evil that's in mankind's heart right there, and where the emphasis of fallen man is. And that it cares more about a college football program than it cares about little boys being ruined emotionally and damaged sexually for the rest of their lives. And while we're on that, for years I've respected Joe Paterno as a good football coach. I don't know his religious affiliation. I hear he's Catholic. But everybody who knew about that and didn't say nothing, they ought to lock them all away and throw away the key. I don't care how great their football reputation is. But there you see the emphasis that man puts on things and what man deems as important. The ruining of systematically over a protracted number of years, little boys' lives being ruined under the influence. Thank you. Under the influence of a football. My. It pales in comparison to what happened at Ohio State earlier this year. But that's mankind. That shows you the evil that's in mankind's heart. That he would think that way. Let me tell you something. To many people, football's religion. It's an object of worship. And it holds the top place in individuals' lives. What happened at Penn State proves it. That's religion. That's religion. Oh, I know I'm jumping all over toes, and you all know I'm an Ohio State fan myself. I'm a fan of it. I'm not going to cry and get worried when they lose or if somebody over there does something foolish to violate an NCAA rule. I'm not going, oh, woe is me, and throwing sackcloth and dust in the air. When it comes right down to it, it's a bunch of fat guys chasing a pig's belly around the field. That's football. And it ain't going to help nobody. Satan will use anything he can, to get you away from Jesus Christ. And he will make it look so pretty and so appealing and so life-giving, but on the inside of it is nothing but death. And Jesus is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. Now verse 6. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. In other words, this religious system, it's going to destroy and kill tens of millions of true believers. It said she was drunk with the blood of the saints. In other words, and this will always, you'll always see this in religion too. Religion always enjoys denigrating Jesus Christ in some way. Well, you say, but Pastor, how about when the Word of Faith teachers teach about Jesus? They're denigrating Christ when they say he became a sinner on the cross. That's religion. That's religion. And it says this woman riding the beast, this world religious system, was drunk. In other words, intoxicated. Enjoyed seeing the true believers in Christ destroyed. Seeing true faith made fun of and mocked. And in closing, the Bible said that the kings of this world and the people were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. Religion is the most powerful drug there is. We said that. It is the Karl Marx was right when he said this. Karl Marx said religion is the opiate of the masses. He's right. Religion is the opiate of the masses. Religion. Jesus is the giver of life. And as we conclude, Christianity is not a religion, it's a relationship. It's a relationship we enter into based on our faith in what Jesus Christ performed on the cross. Living a sinless, perfect life on our behalf, and then paying a penalty, the death penalty for sin, that you and I should have paid. And then because of my faith and belief in what he did for me and you, what we receive as human beings, number one, we receive cleansing from all sin. We receive an approval, a right standing with God the Father, who no longer counts us as ever having sinned at all. My Lord, that's better than any football game out there. That's better than any bottle of Jack Daniels. That's better than any snort of crack cocaine. And that's the best Satan can offer. But when you know Jesus, when you really dedicate your life to him, hear this preacher this morning. I've had what this world told me would make me happy. I've had what this world can give. And it left me laying in front of a TV set ready to blow my brains out. But when I found Christ, I found what real life was. Hallelujah. Give him a hand of praise. I got to hurry. What are you worshiping this morning? What is the object of your worship? Because you're worshiping something. Man was made and created to worship. You're worshiping something or someone this morning. In your life, what I mean by this is, there is something or someone in your life that totally consumes you and how you order every affair of your life. I don't care if you never darken a church door. You're worshiping something. You're worshiping something. And the Holy Spirit has told me to pose this question. What are you worshiping? What dominates your life? What consumes your life? What orders the affairs and drives the decisions in your life? You answer me that question, and that's what you're worshiping. And I take no pride or pleasure in telling you this. If you're not worshiping Jesus Christ, if he's not the center of your life, you're in effect the living dead. And you're into occultism. Now, I know we think of occultism, like I said, of pentagrams and witches and incantations and things like that. This woman is called a harlot for one reason, a spiritual harlot, because she is taking that which belongs to God and heaping it upon herself. That's religion. That's the pure essence of religion. Let me drive it home now. If you're taking your life and you're worshiping something other than Jesus Christ with your life, you're committing spiritual adultery, just like this woman on the horse did, or on the beast did. That's the application this morning. I know it's a sobering thought, and man doesn't see it that way. And this is why Satan hates the kind of preaching I'm doing this morning, because it so blatantly exposes him. And so blatantly exposes what most of the world goes after. What are you worshiping this morning? And I'll guarantee you, there's going to come a time, if you're not worshiping Jesus Christ, whatever you are worshiping is going to cause your world to crumble. How many years, I think it was over 10, at Penn State, they got away with it. They got away with it. It led them to a pride and arrogance that thought, we're Penn State. We're powerful. Nobody's ever going to challenge us on anything. But let me tell you this, there's a God in heaven who's bigger than any football program. When John was called out into the wilderness, he was called out and said, come, I'm going to show you the judgment of the whore that sets upon many waters. I'm going to preach that in part two of this message next week. Come back and hear it. But that judgment is coming. It's built in to false worship. Your false worship is going to one day leave you destroyed. See, they worship that football program. Now, I don't care what you think about it. It's just such a perfect example of the message the Holy Spirit wanted me to bring this morning. I think Joe Paterno knew all about that. How could he not? His assistant coach went to him. His other assistant coach at the time, the one was doing it, this Jerry Sandusky. He had to know what was going on, but it would have hurt the program. It would have defiled what people thought of Penn State. That's a religious system, my brothers and sisters. A religious system. All out, you're going to worship something. You're going to worship something or someone. And if it's not Jesus Christ, you may get away, you may get by for a while and think, I've got the handle on it. There's coming a day. There's coming a judgment day. There's coming a judgment day when it's all going to be exposed. And then you're going to crumble because your life was worshiping something that had no life in it. What are you worshiping today? Would you bow your heads? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus today, you've called me to say some difficult things today, Lord. And I hope they've been said in a way that has brought illumination and not anger. But I realize, Lord, in exposing what we are as humans, you always run the danger of angering folks. But Lord, I'd rather run the danger of angering them to make you happy. With heads bowed and eyes closed, and I want you to know from the outset today, I'm not going to be calling anybody down front. But every one of us have a decision to make this morning. What are we going to worship? What is going to rule and dominate our lives? God gives us that freedom of choice. And I want to ask you, what do you worship? What or whom do you worship this morning? I want you to mull that question over in your heart and spirit. Whom or what are you worshiping? If you're not worshiping Jesus Christ, your world is one day what you are worshiping. And it's idolatry. The worship of a false god is what we're really talking about. It's going to crumble on you. It's going to crumble. It's going to leave you hurting. And if you turn to Jesus at that time in his grace and mercy, he'll be there. He'll be there. But let me ask you this. Maybe you're thinking, well, when that happens, I'll just turn to him. You can become so ingrained with sin and a false religious system in your spirit that you really won't want to turn to Jesus when that happens. You really won't want to turn to him. You'll think he's really not going to be able to help you. This is dangerous, lethal, eternal doctrine we're dealing with this morning. What do you worship? Jesus is about to come, saints of God. We're seeing this world religion spoken of here in Revelation 17 being formed right before our very eyes. Yes, Lord. I so feel the Holy Spirit. You have a choice to make. And I'm telling you, I'm getting so past, and there's not something wrong with it in every instance, but I'm getting past having to call people down front. You've heard this message. In your heart, if you want to cry out to Jesus Christ, if you've been worshiping something other than Him, and you want to get right with God this morning, you know what to do. You call out to Jesus Christ, and you'll find Him very real, and you'll find Him very able and very alive to give you life and to cleanse you from all sin. But hear this, preacher, only Jesus Christ will do that, and you can go on living your life thinking, I'm getting away with it. Ain't nothing too bad happening. Hear this warning from the Holy Spirit this morning. It's coming. It may not be today. It may not be next year. It may not be 5 years from now. It may be 10 years from now, but it is coming, and it will destroy your entire world if you're not worshiping and living your life predicated upon Jesus Christ. It's going to happen. See, that's part of Satan's ploy. Look at what a fool he's made out of all of them now at Penn State, who bought into his wares and his way of doing things. An entire, nearly spotless career and a reputation of a man by the name of Joe Paterno has been wiped clean from the Penn State annals. They have even taken trophies there of championships that had Joe Paterno's name on it and have removed his name. That which for so many years I know he held precious and dear, it's now been wiped away. That's what the world does. That's what Satan does. Worship Jesus Christ and Him alone. Pledge your allegiance to Jesus Christ and Him alone. Don't pledge your allegiance to a televangelist. Don't pledge it to a religious system. Don't pledge it to anything this world has to offer, because it's all going to crumble and leave you lifeless. Worship Jesus Christ and find life. Find life. You may not have the riches of this world, but my Lord, there is a day coming where we will all be rewarded for placing and keeping our faith in Jesus Christ. And that will be eternal. Everything in this world is going to pass anyway. Its power, its pleasure, its positions, it's all going to fade and pass. But that which Jesus gives is eternal. Would everyone please stand? Your heads bowed, your eyes still closed. I want to give you an opportunity right where you stand. I'll be true to my word. It's not my goal to embarrass you. My goal is to present the truth to you in a way that you can make a truly informed decision on how you want to order your life. I can't save you, and I wouldn't try through emotional or oratorical manipulation to get you to give your life and heart to Jesus Christ and worship Him. Because I may get you to an altar and you have some little emotional experience and no real change take place, and you'll be the same person next week you always have been. But I'm saying, if you really want to repent of your sin and you really want to worship Jesus, Jesus said, "He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." He wants you to come to Him. He wants you to forsake your false religious worship system and come to Him. And He'll give you life. He'll give you forgiveness of sin. And He will eternally reward you with things that are so far above what this world could ever give. But that's a decision you've got to make in your heart between you and Him. You may do it at home. You may do it in your car. You may be doing it right now. That's between you and Him. But if you call on Him, you say, "What do I say to Him?" You call on Him. You say, "Jesus, I want You to be the center focus of my life." He will meet you. He will meet you. He will reveal Himself to you if your heart is truly hungry to know Him. And if you're willing to repent of your sin and say, "Lord, I'm a sinner. I can't help myself. And I'm involved in what this world is telling me is going to make me happy, and I know it's going to destroy me one day. Jesus, come in." He will meet you there, and He will give you a revelation of Himself that will stagger you. And He'll pour the power of the Holy Spirit into you, and He'll change your life in ways that you can never change it on your own. If you want to do that right now, do that. To the rest of us, the rapture is so very, very near, and demonic forces are at work. Satan hates churches like this little one right here because of what we believe and preach. We expose him for what he is. We expose false religion and false doctrine for what it is and what it can do. And we uphold the person and the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, which is the only hope there is for this world. He hates churches, little churches like ours. I believe he aids and abets some of the bigger ones because they don't preach the gospel. The worst thing you can do to an individual, what is the meanest thing you could ever do, even worse than the child abuse that went on at Penn State, is you preach a false gospel to that person because they cannot get right with God unless they know how to approach God on God's terms. God doesn't grade on the curve. Hear this, preacher. He doesn't grade on the curve. You come to God on God's terms. We as humans do not get to set the terms. He's God. We have nothing to offer him. But yet he loves us and sent his son to die for us. The most evil thing you can do to a person is teach or preach to them a false religion or a false gospel and lead them to worship something other than Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. And church, that's what we're saying. Pray this morning, saints of God, and ask the Holy Spirit to further take you into Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, today I thank you, Lord, for the presence of the Holy Spirit that I felt. And Lord, I can only pray and trust that in spite of my flawed and failed human oratory and ability, that the anointing of your Spirit broke through to some hearts and lives and minds today. And that, Lord, they've seen this world system and worship for what it really is. We'll worship something or someone. Jesus, I pray that everyone under the sound of my voice has made the decision today. I'm letting go of what this world can offer me. I'm going to cease to worship anything but Jesus Christ. And Lord, for those of us saints that know you and are washed in your precious blood, Heavenly Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you will give us an anointing. Give us, Lord, a revelation to clearly see that which would destroy us and lead us astray. And Lord, open our spiritual eyes to a greater degree to keep our minds and our spiritual eyes focused on only Jesus. Only Jesus in this last day. Jesus, the rapture is about to take place. You're coming back for us, your church. And we look forward to that day, Lord. And we want to be a part of it. We praise your holy name, Lord Jesus Christ. And thank you for your word. Amen and amen. Give him a hand of praise this morning. Thank you, Lord.